All right, guys, welcome once again to your Don's Lifestyle Podcast. I'm Brad Howard, and I've got John Barber on the phone once again. And today, we're going to be interviewing Jason Gottlieb. That's right, Jason, right?
Yep.
Yep, okay. So, and Jason came in actually second place in the overall in the last Adonis Transformation Contest, and we're going to kind of, you know, dig in his brain a little bit and get out some of the nuggets that he kind of uncovered for himself, some of those insights that are really going to help, you know, everyone take it to the next level. Because, you know, a lot of the, even though, you know, a lot of this stuff is very kind of broad-based and, you know, you follow the programs, everybody's still a little bit of a snowflake. So when it comes to lifestyle constraints, there are some things that change from person to person. So we're going to dig in and kind of pull those things out for you. So maybe it'll give you some ideas of what you can do for yourself. So, Jason, I really appreciate you being here. It's going to be really fun, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Cool. Well, you know what? Let's get this thing cracked and start it off right. We were kind of talking a little bit ago about, you know, some of the stories and some of the things that have happened to you ever since, you know, you've kind of gotten a little bit better shape. You know, can you kind of give us some ideas of what this feels like and what kind of things have happened just kind of overall?
Yeah, overall, I'd say once I was getting in the 1.5 to 1.6 range is really when I started noticing things being different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for one thing, right after the contest was Thanksgiving. So I didn't tell my family that I was doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much all of my family were just blown away because some hadn't seen me in years. And a few years ago, I weighed like more than I do now. So it's a big difference.
Well, can you repeat that? I think we lost you for a sec there. How much you weighed and stuff.
Right. Well, a few years ago, I weighed probably 70 pounds more.
Oh, wow.
I didn't weigh myself at the time because I didn't care. I think I didn't care more that I didn't want to know.
Mm, sure.
But so some of them haven't seen me since then, and I definitely look a lot different now. So there was a lot of, wow, you look really different. You look so good. A lot of that from, you know, family. But there were also just, you know, getting to the 1.6 range. Like I was at this like dance class, and, you know, they switched partners. And I was dancing with this one woman who I just met. And she asked me how old I was. And when I told her I'm 28, she was like, oh, you're a little too young for my daughter.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And as soon as that happened, I just thought about the podcast, and I was like, you know, that's kind of similar to like some of those stories that I've heard before, and now it's happening, and I just started smiling.
You should have been like, yeah, but I wasn't interested in her. What about you? Was she cougar-esque?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay, never mind. That's awesome. So what are the kinds of things? You mentioned you kind of creeping into the 1.5, obviously, you know, it's we're kind of running into a trend here. So, you know, what other kinds of things have you noticed just kind of off the bat? And they can be small things too. I mean,
some small things I've noticed at work, people listen to me a little bit more. Some people like that I started with, it seems like whatever I say has a little bit more weight than it did in September.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty interesting. And I've also noticed that, well, so I actually started at this company in June, but I switched my role in September.
Sure.
So someone that I had started with in June, I've noticed as I was getting closer to the golden ratio, they were actually being more like hostile towards me. Because as I was moving towards a good direction, the same person was moving in the opposite direction.
And that happens a lot. It's just did you get any other reactions like that?
Not so much, except like at mealtime. for most of the contest, I was working an average of 80 hours a week, and pretty much all the food I ate for 8 weeks was at work, and it was provided by the company. So it, whatever they are giving you is what there is to eat, and they tell you when to eat as well. So, you know, we go downstairs and get lunch, and I might just get a plate with, you know, half a plate of salad, and that would be my lunch. And there were some people I would get, like, really dirty looks from. It wasn't on purpose. I don't think they even realized it. They would just say to me, "That's all you're having for lunch?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's all I need." And they would just, like, have this look of disgust. And it wasn't very long. It was, you know, maybe half second. But I started picking up on it. And, all, you know, all are, that are doing that are not in good shape. And I just noticed how weird it is that, like, what's wrong with eating a salad for lunch, you know?
But it's because they're not – yeah, as soon as you do anything that's not considered, quote, normal, everyone has to – and I don't know if you've – you've heard me say this in the podcast before, but it, they need to define it. Now, did you ever tell these people you were doing some kind of contest or a photo shoot, or did that even come up, or did you just kind of kept it covert and just sort of kept it to yourself?
Well, I was trying to keep it covert to most people most of the time. At the very beginning, I told one guy who, like, I knew that he knew about all this stuff, and I was just, like, having some fruit, and he commented about it, and I was like, "Oh, I'm in this contest." And he was like, "Okay, yeah, that makes sense." but then for a while, anyone, but towards the end of the contest, I had to tell my team just because, you know, people were coming in, and they're like, "Oh, my wife made cookies, you know, why don't you guys have some?" And I'm like, I don't want to have the cookies, but I don't want to, like, seem offensive or anything. So I'm like, straight up, here's what I'm doing. I have this many weeks left, so I can't eat this crap. And also, we had this snack table in the middle of the room. It's probably like 50 feet away from my desk. And it's unlimited chocolate, cookies, granola bars.
Amazing.
What else? Well, there's really good trail mix that was almost the death of me. And for a couple of weeks, I was just snacking on that trail mix a lot. Trying to do a deficit the whole time. That was my plan at the beginning. And then I realized I couldn't do it the whole time. So towards the end, I told, when I was telling my team, I told them that I was doing it. And I also told them, if you see me getting any of this trail mix, tell me that I don't want to eat it 2 times, and if I still want it after the 3rd time, then let it go.
That is awesome. So how did that work for you? How many people were on board at that point?
At that point, it was 2 guys, one to the left of me and one to the right of me.
Right.
So basically, if I grabbed any of the, like, Hershey's chocolate or the trail mix or anything like that, they were supposed to tell me that I don't want to eat it. Which happened a couple times, and then I just thought about it for a second. I was like, "You're right," and I went and put it back.
And so they basically followed through and kind of helped you out.
Pardon me?
Sorry, okay. So they basically followed through with your request and helped you out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's – and so – and I talked about this earlier. So it – you got, like, you know, like you said, you got those kind of – semi-dirty looks or people who weren't really sure what you were doing. And then as soon as you explain, "Look, I'm in this thing," all of a sudden they can support you. But before you say that, something just seems wrong, right?
Well, these guys didn't have any issues with it before. It was other people.
Now, I wonder if you'd have told them, but I, you know, that's the whole question. Do you tell them or do you just deal with it?
Those people I wouldn't tell because there would be times where you're sitting out there eating, and I would, if I was eating with them, you know, I'm part of the conversation. But also, if you're just out there, you overhear things. So there's a lot of talk about, "I haven't been to the gym in 2 months. I shouldn't really be eating this." But it's just talk because they're saying it with their mouth full of pasta.
I knew you were going to say that. That's the funniest part. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
As they got meatballs spewing out of their mouth, they're saying they shouldn't be eating this.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just sitting there eating a salad, just like smiling to myself. I'm like, if you know you shouldn't be eating this and you're complaining about it, then just put it down. You don't have to eat it. There's other options here.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. You know, I think part of what we do and what we talk about is obviously navigating this social minefield, because that's essentially what it is.
So what was So what was the biggest challenge then? I mean, this was it diet or?
Diet was definitely the biggest challenge. I learned that I'm a stress eater during the con. Because I paid more attention during the last 3 months to what I was eating than I ever have before, except for when I was doing the paleo diet, which I can talk about later. That's just, it's not really worth doing. It's a pain in the ass.
Okay.
I mean, it works, but only because you're eating less and it's so much effort that it's just not worth it.
And when you say you did the paleo diet, you like really did it. You didn't just, because I know a lot of people who say they are, but then they also mix in, like, they just say it for show, for the identity, and then when you see the meat, you're like, wait a minute, that's not part of it, and, you know, they start eating all these other things. But so when you said you did it, like, you did it?
Yeah, I gave myself 31 days where I had to be purely paleo. I messed up once because I didn't think about it, and I ordered a Caesar salad. Mm.
That's not on it? Why is that not on it?
So I took off as much as of the Parmesan and the croutons as I could, but that was the only cheating I did in that 1 month.
So on that, on the quote strict paleo diet, you can't have a Caesar salad.
Well, you can't have cheese because there wouldn't have been cheese.
Oh my God, that's ridiculous. Anyways, all right. Well, so back to, well, I don't even know if we need to talk about how ridiculous that is, but back to how you learned you were a stressful eater.
Right. So. So my plan for the contest actually started a month before the contest. And that was basically eat really low and get rid of as much extra weight as I could before the start of the contest, just so that, one, I would look that much better by the end, and then, two, if I slip up somewhere, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. I'd already taken off some weight. So I started off the contest really, it was actually during Ramadan, so I was using that as an excuse to only be eating once a day. And I was eating about 500 to 800 calories a day for about the week before the contest started and the first 2 weeks of the contest. And I was, the first 2 weeks, I was also doing Rage, which it was kind of hard to eat 500 calories a day while doing Rage, but it was the beginning of the contest and there was all this shit talk going on the blogs and the forums. So that kept me really motivated to eat really low at the beginning.
Right.
And I knew there were going to be some long hours for this project that we were working on, but I thought it would just the end of October. So 2 weeks into it, the hours started getting really long. And I realized, I don't know, a week or two after that, that it wasn't going to stop until November. And so my plan of eating 1,500 or less calories every single day for the entire contest started to stress me out when the hours turned into like 84-hour weeks. And then I started eating more. And there was like 3 days where it just really got to me. I was like, how am I going to do this? And I got really stressed out, and I kept eating all this crap because they started bringing in all the food. And I posted about it. I put a blog post up. I think it was called 3 Days of Wessing.
Oh, God. And I feel so bad for Wes.
After I posted it, Oh, he knows it's all in fun.
Yeah,
And I think that he's got it all under control.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
it's just funny that that's. Anyways, go. So go on.
I'm gonna buy a token pinata and take a picture and beat on it and just have his name on it or something. That's just great.
So right after I posted it, it basically let out everything, all the stress that I had about it, and I realized as soon as I posted it, I figured out what I have to do. And I realized I'm not going to be able to eat in a deficit right now, and I can just try to eat at maintenance. As long as I don't gain anything, then I'm fine, because I'm still going to be going to the gym and pushing really hard there.
Mm-hmm.
So at the same time as I figured that out, did something. He was like, dude, don't worry about eating all that crap, but you have to stop now. And I already had my plan figured out, but that just kind of cemented it. I was like, he's right. Like, I can't be doing this if I'm going to win the contest. And at the beginning of the contest, I jumped in flat out knowing I was going to win. And so I stressed out because I was like, how am I supposed to win when I have all this to deal with? So the plan that I basically worked out was I need to eat around 1,500 calories. If I can eat under that, then that's awesome. So I would bring either like a watermelon, a honeydew, or a cantaloupe, the whole thing to work. And I would just start eating that in the morning, and that was my breakfast. And if I wanted to eat any of the crap that they had, I have to have finished the melon first.
Interesting.
So I'd be eating the melon all morning, and I went to the gym before work because that was the only way. Like, I'm not working 12 hours and then going to a gym.
Yeah.
So I'd get up at like 5:30, be at the gym around 6:30 to 6:45, and then I'd go to work. And so after we're doing a workout, I'm pretty hungry. So I'd start eating the melon, and then at like 12:30, it would be lunchtime. So then I would go eat lunch, and I would usually just eat salad, and maybe if they had chicken or shrimp or something, I'd have a little bit of that, depending what it was. Like, if it was chicken parmesan, I'm not eating it. So then after lunch, I hadn't eaten the whole snack on the melon if I felt like eating something. Then around 6:30 would be dinner, which at that point the melon would be gone, but I hadn't eaten any crap. Then I would go eat dinner, where it's kind of the same thing, where I'd mostly just eat vegetables, and salad and some meat. And then after that, I really just didn't want to eat anything else the rest of the day, partly because I was so tired, because I never really got enough sleep during this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Or because I was just full because I ate all of that food.
So you settled in, so this was basically the pattern you settled into that ended up working.
Yeah, for a while. I did that for about 3 or 4 weeks. And then I just got really tired of eating melons all day.
So then what did you do?
We've been doing this for a month, so you just get used to being really tired all the time. Mm. And I was drinking a lot of caffeine by this point, so that helped a lot with not wanting to eat as much. I would drink, like, I don't know, 5 cups of coffee, and then I'd have a couple cups of tea throughout the day, and then I'd also have at least 2 Red Bulls, possibly 3, depending.
Wow. Yeah.
On the day.
Yeah, it's a challenge, eh?
Yeah, all that caffeine definitely helped suppress my appetite a bit, and then, you know, you're just so tired at that point that I just didn't even care. And I was so used to trying not to eat the stuff that I was eating the trail mix at that point. So I would just have like a little trail mix every now and then. And that was pretty much was enough that I just knew I'm mostly just going to eat salad and a little bit of meat. And I can snack a little bit, but not that much. And it really wasn't that big a deal until the very end when I think it was really just the last 3.5 weeks where I just decided I can't snack at all for the rest of the contest. And then I took the last 2 weeks off just because I just really needed a break, and we had just finished this project, and I was taking the week of Thanksgiving off anyway.
Oh, you took it off work?
Yeah, I was going to take Thanksgiving week off anyway, and I just needed it to get stuff done for myself, and I knew if I wasn't in the office that it would help out a lot with the eating, which it did, because comparatively, I very much that last week, last 2 weeks, really.
Yeah, I mean, you could do a lot of damage in 2-3 weeks as far as, you know, if you, I mean, that's how I have to operate, you know, whenever I do, you know, cuts and stuff.
Just hit it hard.
I have like patches of time, you know, cause John and I travel a lot, and like we're in seminars, and, you know, we're, you know, I've got some in Vegas coming up next month, and, you know, it's, that's almost impossible to do.
Yeah. And
I mean, when you're on the road,
what you just said about how busy your work, that's hard. Like that makes your transformation even more impressive that you did it working as much as you did, and the fact that your food was provided. And that just goes to show anyone who thinks you can do it in any setting.
Lack of sleep, no problem. But
your situation's about as difficult as it could have been, from what it sounds like, to actually pull this sort of thing off. So you said you...
Pardon me, just cut off.
Sorry, there. you said, well, I was just saying your situation sounded about as difficult as it could have been to make this thing work.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When I realized that I wasn't going to be able to eat in a deficit the entire time, I don't know if this is necessarily anything to do with getting second place as opposed to first, but I went into this going for first place, and then I changed my mindset. Was, okay, this is how it's going to be from now on. I'm still going to place, and I'm going to prove that you can still do this even if you have a really hard, fucked up situation like I do. Because you can still do it if you really want to. And I set out to prove that to myself and to prove it to everybody else. But my mindset to if I place, I'm still happy and it's still a win to me. And so I don't know. I know some of the other ones, like Ron went in saying they were going to win. And then Jason also went in saying he was going to win the second time, and then they won. I don't know if that mind shift that I had would have made a difference. If I had still said I'm still going for first, maybe I would have done more. I don't know. But pretty much I wasn't going to let my situation be an excuse any more than it had been in the past, because it's really not an excuse. Like, if you want to do it, you can do it. You just have to figure out how to do it with what your situation is.
Oh, yeah, because any situation can be viewed as an impossible situation if you choose to let it be.
Exactly. Right. And in the past, I mean, at the end of the contest, 133, I probably was up around 200 in the past because of similar work situations.
Sure. And you just fell into a pattern of eating the stress away.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. But I didn't recognize that until this contest, where I was really paying attention to it. And I noticed there were certain days where we'd have an impossible deadline, and I got really stressed out, and I just kept wanting to eat.
Like that would somehow make the deadline go away.
Not that it would make the deadline go away, but that it would make the stress of trying to do it, but knowing that it's not actually possible. Okay.
Yeah. No. Well, that makes sense. I mean, food does calm the nervous system down. I mean, that's why people eat stressfully.
Yeah. Oh, explain that really quickly. We haven't talked
but
about that.
I did notice.
Go ahead.
Talk about.
I did notice
that chewing gum helped a lot. Especially, they have this new, I don't know what the brand is, but it's these like, dessert flavored ones. And there's like a strawberry shortcake and a mint chocolate chip one. And that was pretty good because it was kind of like, oh, I'm eating a cake or some ice cream. And you get to chew it and have that flavor, but you don't get the calories from
it. Yeah, I do the same thing. And I've been coaching a few people on a weight loss, and they never go anywhere without their gum right now because of exactly the same reason. It's just a lot of the experience of eating is there, the chewing, the flavor. You know, it does help. It's huge. That and coffee, both of them really help.
Yeah. John, why don't you really quickly kind of talk about
stressful eating?
We were talking about the other day, and I don't think we've ever talked about it, how it's actually the exact opposite of the fight or flight response.
Okay, so let's touch on it super quick, and then we'll get back to Jason's stuff here. So stressful eating, basically, the reason a lot of people revert to food to deal with stress is because it stimulates your parasympathetic nervous system. So when you're excited and stressed, let's say, you have the fight or flight response, where all, you know, the adrenaline feeling, it's kind of, that's all the same section of your nervous system that's stimulating that. So when you're stressed and it feels like overwhelming, you've got one half of your nervous system, let's say, that's stimulated. Now, to stimulate it the other direction, food is one of the most powerful things to stimulate it the other direction to, quote, calm down. And so a big meal, kind of like if you imagine Thanksgiving dinner, you eat a big enough meal, it'll literally put you to sleep. That's what food does. Food can calm you down because it stimulates the other part of your nervous system. So it's the difference between fight or flight and rest and digest. And that's why food has that calming effect.
Yeah, so it's the point of the whole thing is, you know, a lot of people feel like that it's their fault or there's something wrong with them or they can't resist or whatever, but it's a completely normal thing.
Well, if you're, like you said, Jason, if you're having these deadlines that literally are impossible, but you're being tasked with it anyway, and you know, and it's your part of your job, and it's like, without taking an anti-stress medication, food's the next best medication, and it tastes good. So it's a totally normal reaction to try to bring some of that stress hormone down with food.
Yeah. So I guess the big part about that is we just want to, you know, because a lot of people want to know why they're doing this and they feel helpless. Well, that's why. So you don't have to necessarily feel helpless. You kind of recognize the fact that, okay, well, this is what I'm supposed to. Kind of like, you know, why eating less than maintenance sucks so bad and why you get hungry. Well, it's because you're not supposed to eat less than that. It's kind of a, you know, it's
your body's it's built to want you to eat to what you burned.
Right. So it's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. Nothing's wrong with you. So, okay. So I know we hadn't talked about it in the past. I just wanted to touch on that really quick because it came up. So, Jason, what workouts were you doing?
Well, I was doing Adonis 3.0. At the beginning I was doing Rage for 2 weeks. Then I was just doing the program and I actually joked about it in a blog, I think, that I had to leave something for the podcast. I was planning on doing Adonis abs and shoulder booster for the entire contest.
Right.
Because those are areas that I knew I definitely needed a lot of work on. And I started doing it, but then I also started working a lot. So I did finish the shoulder booster, which I think helped a lot. Doing it early on, and I was doing the abs, but I was trying to add the abs onto the leg days so that I could get more workouts in.
Right.
And then do extra shoulder work on other days. And it just became apparent that it wasn't going to happen. I just didn't have the time to put into it, to add it on to workouts, and I didn't have as many days that I could go to the gym as I wanted because pushing myself that hard in the gym and working these kind of hours, there just every I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 days, I just had to have a day where I slept in later and didn't go to the gym because I was so exhausted. And there were days where I was at the gym and I had drank 4 cups of coffee right before I went and I was still half asleep. And I'm pushing myself as hard as I could push in the gym. You know, the weights were lighter than they normally would be, but I was still working as hard as I could. And I'm going to finish that workout, but then I decide, okay, well, obviously I shouldn't have gone to the gym today. I'm sleeping in tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I wasn't able to do all the booster stuff that I'd been planning on. And then I just, it pretty much, I didn't even stick to a set schedule. It was just go as often as I can. And when I feel run down and I just need a day, and that would be a day that I would take a rest day. And it might be 2 days in a row that I have to rest, either because I'm just too tired or because I did a 17-hour day, or because, like, my legs are too sore because of all the calf work, and mm-hmm. things like that. It was just whatever reason it was that I felt that I needed a rest. And it was all just feeling what my body felt. It had nothing to do with it's this day of the week or I have this much time left in the contest. It was all just push as hard as I can every single day until I need a rest and then
rest.
Let my body rest. And there were some times where, you know, it might be a 3-day rest, but I would go back and I was definitely stronger after those 3 days of resting than the previous week.
Mm-hmm. And that's basically exactly how this all works. You're pushing right up against the edge of what you're capable of without trying to not cross the edge or cross over.
Yeah. You know what's funny? And this just made me think of something. Maybe an experiment I'm going to try this week coming up, because you know I used to work out really early back in the day. And I'm not sure if it's the same way it is now, and maybe I'm missing something, but it always seemed to me that the people that worked out really early in the morning, as a percentage, were, you know, a higher percentage of people were in better shape.
It could be. It could be. I mean, we've had you other know, people who worked out in the morning who did really well, so it's just the way it worked out. Andrew Scott was the same way. He works out early, too.
Yeah.
The thing with working out early, I actually don't like it. I'm a night person, and I've found that if I can work out more, I'm actually stronger than when I'm working out at 7 o'clock in the morning. But mm-hmm. the only way, well, there were two things I had to do. One is I had to join a new gym there's this gym literally 1 minute from my house. And the other one that I had a membership to, which now I just have two gym memberships, requires an extra 40 minutes of travel. Like, not one way, but round trip. It's just a bunch of extra driving that I wasn't sure that I would stick to with this kind of a work schedule. So that one, I got a really good deal a couple years ago, and it's basically $100 a year now as long as I keep the account open.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, whatever, I'll keep it open. But I joined this other one, which basically I just paid for a year up front in cash. And they gave me like 2 months for free. And it came out to about $45 a month with like paying for 13 months.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's essentially like having a home gym because it's a minute away. And in the morning, because it's more expensive than some of the other gyms in the area, there's not as many people. Mm-hmm. I have gone in the evening, and then it's really crowded, just like any other gym. But in the morning, there's really not that many people. And most of the people that were going there, at least around 7 a.m., are older or women that are just doing cardio.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty much me and about 3 or 4 other guys that are using the weights at all.
So you have your run of the place.
So, yeah, it's great. I don't have to wait for anything. I can use whatever I want, like
what?
Or sharing anything usually, and that helped a lot.
Sure. Well, you know what? That's trying to go to the gym when it's busy can just wreck your workout if you know, you lose momentum right away if, like, you have to wait for somewhere to work out or someone's got all the dumbbells you want, and then you're just like, man, I don't want to be here if this is how it's going to be.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, the other gym, like, I've gone there a couple times during the contest, and I just hated it because they either someone was using the dumbbells that I needed, and I either had to go heavier than I knew I really was able to do, or lighter, which then I felt like it was pointless because
it's too light.
It wasn't what I needed. Yep. Or they don't even have the weight that I need. Like, if I want a 17.5-pound dumbbell, but they only have 15 and 20, it's harder to progress because you have to keep going until you can do the 20s. But really, I'm looking for 17.5.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's all part of the advantage of having a better place to go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, I mean, the $45 a month for it is more than worth it because I wasn't going to get that same workout if I had a crowded place that didn't have all the stuff I needed.
Well, I mean, you're going to save that in gas.
That's true.
I mean, nobody ever looks at it that way, but, like, literally, I mean, most of the stuff is, I mean, when you're talking about gym memberships for most people, I mean, remember, because I used to do this for a living, I could literally look at somebody, we could talk about it, I could find money in their budget they were already spending, like time and time again. And I could actually save in money time and time again. I could save somebody $300 a month and, you know, and they still have that. So even as high as, you know, people paying up to 60 some bucks a month, you know, when it came down to it, they were actually making money in the deal.
There's something about paying less on the price tag that I and people don't think about that, like the money they spend in gas. I don't know why, but people feel like they win when the item and the price tag that they've seen before, they find it somewhere cheaper. It's kind of like I live maybe 45 minutes from the border, so a lot of people drive just across the border to go buy stuff because the prices in the States is always cheaper than Canada. But by the time you've driven there and come back and paid a couple of tolls, unless you bought $1,000 worth of stuff, the trip would have cost more.
Sure.
But people were like, yeah, but I got these shoes for $40, but in Canada they're 80. I'm like, yeah, but you probably spent $25 at least in gas getting there and back. You probably stopped for lunch and you paid $5 in tolls. What are you doing? Like, you just spent all day buying a shoe and you might have saved $5. But no one thinks of it that way. They just think of the price tag. But anyways, we're getting off topic here.
Yeah, but even the money, I didn't even care about the money. It's just you're paying for it with your time.
Sure, and that's one thing you can't get back is the time.
Right, and I'd rather have my time than save a couple bucks. Like, I don't want to be having to have my whole life revolve around getting to the gym to get my workout done. This is right down the street. I can go work out, get ready, and head on to work, and it's right on my route. And it's the next best thing pretty much for me for having a home gym.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the most powerful use of money is buying back your own time. I mean, that's quite simply. I mean, but you either do that by, you know, buying systems or investing in systems or whatever you can do to save yourself time, or paying somebody else to do something that gets your time back. I mean, that by far, that's the highest leverage activity you can ever do, is using your money to buy back your own time. So, I mean, I completely agree. So,
well, let's get into, we haven't even touched on this. How did you find us, and how did you work out before you got to us? And then what made you choose to do our stuff?
Well, basically, I realized that a few years ago, I realized, okay, I'm almost 25. And when I was in college, I was ignoring how I took care of my body. And I just said, when I get out of school, when I'm not so busy, then I'm going to take care of it. One thing I did say was, I'm not going to let myself get so fat that I have to buy new pants. So if I need new pants, then I have to lose weight. The problem is that I wore really baggy pants. I ended up getting kind of fat, but then I just filled in the pants. And then I was like, oh, I need to slow down on the eating a little bit, which I did. But then I just stayed that way, which I didn't think I was fat. But I look at pictures of me in 2006 now, and I'm like, wow, look at that fat guy.
How much did you weigh then?
Oh, I don't know, but I'm guessing somewhere around 200, give or take.
Well, how big was your waist at that time, do you think?
I don't know because I didn't pay any attention, but I'm going to guess 36 inches because I was filling out 34-inch pants, which I've now come to realize that the size it says on pants is probably 2 inches smaller than your waist really is.
Yeah, I was thinking four. But,
four?
Yeah.
It might be at that point. I don't know. All I know is I don't have any pants that fit.
Yeah, and where's your waist now?
Well, right now it's 29 inches because I gorged on New York pizza over Thanksgiving.
Right.
And basically the idea is just to stay around 28 to 29 inches, and I'm slowly letting it go down, and it's been steadily going down with almost no effort for the last week. And I've been eating like cookies and Reese's and stuff, all this stuff that I haven't been eating for 3 months. Not a lot of it, just a little bit just to get a taste, which is pretty much about to come to an end because now I got to work on the Open contest. But it's really not that hard now that I'm here to maintain it.
Yeah. Maintenance, once you've gone down and once you kind of understand, starting, where the bottom level of maintenance is, and you understand you kind of got a little bit of a play. Eating at maintenance actually feels, after you've done something like this, eating at maintenance feels like eating a lot.
And understanding what it took to do it is what makes maintenance not so hard. Like you get the fact you just, however much calories you burn in a day, you just eat that many. Like there's no rule there. That's it. And that's all maintenance is. There's nothing really else to it.
Yeah, and I don't even really count the calories per se.
Well, you just use the mirror and measurements?
Basically measurements. I just, I step on the scale every morning, not to be obsessive about it, just to see where I'm at. And, take your waist measurement. And it's more just because I'm interested to see how the weight fluctuates, because there are some days where just for some reason I'm 2 pounds heavier. Look any different, and then the next day I'm 4 pounds later, and there's really no reason for it.
It's just water.
Yeah, it's just water, and but it's good to see, because sometimes you're slowly going up a little bit, and then you check your waist and it's going up a little bit, and then you just realize, all right, I'm just gonna not eat so much. So like one day this week, because of Thanksgiving, I just ate really low that one day, and I dropped like 4 pounds of water just from doing that. And yesterday I was just really hungry, and I ate a ton of food. Well, it felt like a ton of food to me. I don't know if it was really that much, but I just kept eating all day, and didn't really make any difference.
Yeah.
So today I'm just not going to eat as much, and it's not really a big
deal. It isn't a big deal, is it?
It feels really good. No, it's not a big deal. Once you get rid of it, it's not a big deal, because you can just eat whatever the hell you want one day and then just eat light for a couple days. You don't even have to. Like, if you fast, it's going to help faster. But if you don't want to fast, like, I personally really hate fasting. Mm-hmm. And, eating, like, 500 to 800 calories in a day is really not so bad. Just drink a bunch of coffee all day and you're fine. You just do that for a couple of days and then you're back where you were. Mm-hmm.
And then you can go right back to maintenance the next day. So it's never that maintenance isn't that hard.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing, I talk about a lot of people talk about it being, you know, compulsive about it, and weighing yourself every day is bad, and taking measurements every day is bad. I don't consider that compulsive. I consider that keeping a finger on the pulse.
And like you said, after the contest, you kind of were curious, right, to see what would happen, like after Thanksgiving and whatnot. But then once you kind of know what your daily fluctuations are, like Howard and I both know, and Jason, now you know, it's not long until you don't even ever need to take measurements, or you could just eyeball it. You're like, yeah, I'm probably holding a couple pounds of water. It doesn't take long until you kind of have a grip on all of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have a grip on it. I'm just kind of curious to see how long it actually takes to get right back where I was. And I know that if I really push it for like 2 days, I'll be right back where I was when I took my pictures. Because most of that really happened, I was about where I am now a couple days before, like probably the Saturday before the end of the contest, I was where I am.
So you're really maintaining the look.
And yeah, I mean, I figure if I keep myself 1 to 2 days away from that, then if I do a bunch of cutting, it'll just be that much better next time around.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I say, we're not talking about anything too difficult. We were just talking about this with Thomas about, you know, I don't see why anybody would not compete in open every time, because it gives you, I mean, literally all you're doing is maintaining your look and lifting, you know, and if you want to do cardio, that's fine. If you've got auxiliary goals, that's cool. But like literally, you know, 3 months out of the 3 months out of the year, you're probably doing some type of cut, you know, if you're doing it right, right? Because you're probably within striking distance, then you do a cut. And you know what? That keeps you on track. Yeah. I mean, with all the trash talking that's going on, I mean, that's all the motivation you need.
The open contest is great. I know the competition part really is what pushed me to really go for it. I mean, this is what I wanted to do. So I guess we kind of got away from how I found you guys.
Go ahead.
So when I realized that I was almost 25, and I'd read this article about how if you're not using your muscles after 25, it just starts to get worse and gets harder to get in good shape. So I knew that I wanted the Adonis look. I didn't know how to say what I wanted at the time. And so I just decided, okay, I need to start working out. And so I started doing, I found like the abs that from Men's Health, I think it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I got some good results, and I'm pretty happy with that. And then I was like, well, there's got to be something better. So then I, you know, kept reading that stuff, and I got into more like bodybuilding type things. And there was a while where it was all about getting really huge legs and different stupid things like that. And then I got the Arnold Schwarzenegger book, and I was doing his like basic routine for a while, which I definitely was getting stronger. But once I started doing that, I was getting bigger, but it was just fat. And, I mean, it was still better than before because I'd lost a lot of weight with the abs diet, which the funny thing is when I knew nothing and I was doing that, I was getting close to the Adonis style of doing things. And then when I was trying to find better things and I was going more towards bodybuilding and stuff, it was actually getting worse. And then when I realized that wasn't really working, my friend took me to a CrossFit gym, and I knew nothing about CrossFit. And I did that workout, and that one half-hour workout almost killed me.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the guys there were in really good shape. And so I see them, and I want to look like them. This is what they're doing, so I'm going to do this. So then I started doing CrossFit for a while, and that's how I found the paleo diet. but I wasn't really, I was improving doing all the CrossFit workouts, but my body wasn't improving at all.
Like your look?
Yeah, my look was staying the same. I was getting stronger, and my endurance went through the roof.
Right.
But I looked the same, and and my weight stayed the same. And it was actually around the time when I was doing the really, really strict paleo month that I found you guys. It was towards the beginning of the first contest. And there was no like user testimonials really yet. I was like, I don't know. This seems interesting, but I'm not so sure about this. So I just kind of put it off. And then I saw like the first contest winners a few months later. And I thought, okay, maybe there's something to this, but I'm not ready to give it a shot because I was about to go to New Orleans for work for a little while, mm-hmm. and I wasn't going to have access to a gym. So when I was out there, I was just doing CrossFit-only body weight routines because mm-hmm. I had no access to weights. So it's just lots of like handstand push-ups, pull-ups, squats, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Way more burpees than I ever want to do in my life again. And but at that point, because I'd been aware of you guys, I found out about Eat Stop Eat. And so I wasn't ready to even try an actual fast, but I was trying to do partial fast. So I would do like 18 hours. And that wasn't so bad. And plus, I'm in New Orleans, so I'm not going to not eat some of that food. Mm-hmm. So I would eat pretty low some days, but then I would go and get a fried catfish po' boy with some beers at happy hour. And it was really good. And in 3 weeks of doing that, where I'm eating some of that crap, I lost 5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right, well, this is working out, but I was still doing like these CrossFit bodyweight routines. Mm-hmm. So I guess these guys are right about the diet part. I should give it a shot with the workout programs. So at that point, then I came back to LA and I was really busy, so I didn't start the workouts yet around like May. And I was wanting to, and then I actually started doing the system in June. And then at that point, the second contest winners came out, and I got to see even more people doing it. And that's next contest, whenever that starts, I'm going to take that one.
Was there a particular person who kind of you saw their thing, and they're like, okay, I'm doing this? Or just in general?
In general, it was basically everyone, but also like Jason Haynes, seeing his transformation from the beginning
right.
to the end. Once that second contest came in, I was like, holy shit, like I remember this guy in the first contest, and now he looks like this, and it's what, like half a year, maybe 8 months or something, and I was like, if he can do it, I mean, I had lost a significant amount of weight over a few years by that point, but mm-hmm. seeing his transformation that much in such a short amount of time, I knew I had less of a way to go. So if he could do it, then there's really no excuse.
Mm-hmm. That was
doing it, having the system and seeing that you can go really extreme from one way to the other and it's not that hard. Well, it is really hard. I'm not going to say it's not hard. It's not complicated. Like, all this stuff I was trying to do before was really complicated, and I had to kind of revolve my life around that. Whereas this, it's really simple, and you just throw it in when you can. But actually doing it still takes a lot of effort, and that part's hard. But it actually feels a lot easier to do just because I don't have to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds like to me what you're saying is just your overall daily decision-making process has just become a lot easier on what you need to do and things like that. I mean, that's kind of one of the best benefits I've ever seen with everything we do. And it's like we talked to Thomas a little while ago, is the same thing. Is, you know, if I had 95%, if I could gain 95% of the muscle by doing what we do and give up the 5% because I'm not totally on point. Well, okay.
Yeah. If you don't have to obsess about it and you're still going to get basically everything out of it. That's yeah. Pretty good.
Okay. So yeah, that's awesome, man. So as far as, it's really interesting. I don't believe this. You know, how long did it take for you to kind of, like, what was your, because I guess what we're saying was what we see is that there's either people that are kind of familiar with some of us and they jump in on them like pretty quickly, or it's about 60 to 90 days after first kind of contact where they kind of go and listen to podcasts, see some of the transformations and kind of, okay, yeah, all right, I'm comfortable enough with this, you know. What was that? How long was that process for you, do you think?
Well, I first found out about you guys just when I was researching some things, probably September or October of 2009. Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of thought, I don't know about this, and I ignored it for a while. Then I think the first contest ending, I got an email from like Fitness Black Book maybe that was talking about it, and I went and checked it out and I was like, oh shit, maybe there's something to this. But I wasn't really ready because at that point I was CrossFit and paleo was the way to get this, just because I did the paleo diet really strict for a month. I lost 7 pounds. I thought that was going to be it, but it was so hard to do.
Right.
So then.
Oh, and you know what the trick with that is, by the way? A lot of those people don't. Like, you follow. That's why I was asking you. You followed it to the letter, right? The paleo thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what those people won't tell you is they don't follow their own words to the letter. So they kind of people, and I'm not picking on paleo people. I've heard about this from vegans who, there's big time vegan bloggers who confidentially will admit that they eat meat. But they keep up the front that they're the champion of veganism. So I don't doubt that that happens with paleo, because I know a lot of people who say they're paleo, but when you talk to them, they're like, oh, but I still eat refined sugar and I still eat this sometimes for treats. And like, you got to have your treats. And I'm like, you're a hypocrite. You either do it or you don't. And then people like you are going to think that it's 100% on or off. And then you go through it, you realize how balls hard it is. And then any money, you'll find out most of those people who promote it don't even do it.
Oh, the worst one. The worst one is toxins. When people are talking about toxins, it's like, oh, toxins are killing you. And then I see them at the bar at these seminars getting hammered.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, filling themselves up with all the toxins they're talking about getting rid of.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, smoking dope. I mean, whatever. It's the funniest thing in the world.
Oh, yeah. We're straying off topic here.
It's all part of it, man. But anyway, so basically, so I don't know. You're probably about the same as most people, about 60, 90 days before you are actually kind of comfortable enough to even give it any consideration at all.
So you're saying the first contest is basically what kind of gave us enough proof in your eyes?
No, the first contest gave it enough that I was willing to consider it. Mm. So I started listening to the podcast after the first contest. Mm. And then after listening to the podcast for about, I mean, basically I was getting caught up with it. So I would maybe listen to like 2 in a day at some times. And then after I was almost caught up with the podcast, that's when I decided to try Eat Stop Eat, because I was like, well, this is making a lot of sense and it seems like it'll be a lot easier than trying to figure all this stuff out on my own. And I saw some pretty promising results. So when I started doing the calorie restriction, and I noticed results only after listening to a lot of the podcasts and then trying that part out with the same workouts I was doing anyway, that's when I decided that I would actually give it a shot.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I mean, we're just noticing this across the board, so just trying to get a handle on that. I mean, just personally for me, it's kind of a help, but it's also just for other guys that are out there that are listening to this. You know, I mean, it's completely healthy to be skeptical.
I have a question. Does what we say? Because maybe I just don't get it. Does what we say sound that outrageous, or just?
No, the thing is, what you say sounds so right and so simple, but it's so different from all the other things that you're reading on fitness web pages or any of the magazines. You know,
does it sound too simple to be right?
It's almost like it seems like it's too good to be true because you've tried all this other crap that didn't work. Mm. And all of that was really complicated. So how are you trying all this stuff that people are saying that works and that doesn't work, and then this is so simple, why is that going to work? Even though most of the time it's the simple things that actually work. But it's mostly just the marketing, because you've been marketed to so much, at least in the United States, so much, that this is what you have to do. You know, like, you have to eat 6 times a day and your metabolism's going to slow down. And
all that crap.
All this crap. And even the people that are in shape aren't even really in shape. It's just that people here are so fat that they look like they're in shape comparatively. Mm. So you don't even realize how far away you are until you get there.
Right. So then my question is, Would we come across at first contact more or less believable if we came out with an even more complicated explanation? You know what I'm saying? Like, it seems as though people are looking for something even more complicated than the thing that has just failed them, versus us, where we just kind of like, eh, let's do this.
I think it's just that people think they know things, that it's just stuff that they've been marketed, and it's not actually true. And it's hard to unlearn things that you think are true.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
And just accept it without actually experiencing it or seeing somebody experience it.
That's,
you know, it's like I tested the waters just with kind of doing Eat Stop Eat, and when I saw really good results with that, and I didn't even do that until I listened to the podcast. I think the podcast is really what got me to do it. Was, you guys make a lot of sense and everything sounds right, so let me test it out a little. Then that worked really well. So then I was just ready to go for it. And I think also the contests, seeing, like, the first contest definitely is what allowed me to even think about it. But now that there's 3 contests in it, there's a lot of people that have proved that it works. And I think that if you just look at the results that have come and listen to the podcast, that's all you really should need in order to know, just go for it.
Yeah. It's really interesting, because it's funny, because we really don't hold anything back in the podcasts. I had a refund request one time. It was hilarious. And the guy writes, because in the main manual, he was like, I learned all this in the podcast. And I was like, no shit.
Yeah. I don't know if we're doing ourselves a disservice there, but we give away just about everything. The only thing that's not really there is the actual workout itself.
Themselves.
We can't freaking repeat the entire workout on the podcast. That would take forever. The theory and the concept, you could literally, if you listen to them all, you could construct the entire thing event sort of yourself. It would just be a bit of be kind of cumbersome, that's all.
Yeah, at that point, it goes back to that time versus money thing we talked about earlier. So,
and speaking of time, I think we should wrap this one up.
Yeah. Yeah, we tend to stray a lot. So, well, anyway, let's close out really quickly, man. What are some of the insights and things that you can tell someone if you had some advice, you know, just right off the bat that would just help people, you know, get what they want, somebody like yourself or just anybody in general? What were the insights that really would just stick out?
Well, I think one of the most important tools that I had was the online community. Because even though I was really busy, I decided that I was going to post at least one blog post a week, even if the only thing it was my stats.
Right.
Because, yeah, I want to do this for myself, but I had been doing the program before the contest, and I was improving, but it wasn't as fast as during the contest because I was only accountable to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And when I posted it, I mean, I flat out posted on the forum, I'm going to win this contest. And so it made me accountable to myself. It also made me accountable basically to the world because anyone can read this. Now, obviously, I don't really care what the rest of the world thinks. And if I don't do it, it doesn't really matter because I'm just putting it out there to motivate me. You know, I don't necessarily know anybody, but so why would it matter if I say I'm going to do something and I don't? But I don't want to post the next week that I'm getting fatter when I said I'm going to win a contest.
Yeah.
So it's just really for me to push myself that I know I'm going to put this out there, and I put pictures up that I'm not happy with. And I want to get a picture up that I like, and I want to have stats that I like, and I want to be able to look back and say, look, this is what I said I was going to do, and I did it. And knowing that I had to post, like there were some times where I ate too much in a day, and then I realized I only have 3 more days until I have to take my stats and put them online. I got to buckle down. Mm-hmm. And just knowing that I'm accountable to other people, even though I'm not really accountable to them, helped a lot. And also you get a lot of support from all the guys on there. If you're having a hard time with something, you find out, oh, other people have that same issue, and here's how this person solved it, and here's how this person solved it. Or you might just be doing a good job and someone just tells you, hey, you're doing a really good job, keep it up. And you might be feeling really unmotivated, but when you read that, it kind of helps you feel really motivated again, and then you want to push harder, and then you get the results, and you don't really notice any change happening while it's happening because you see yourself every day. And when you compare your before and after pictures, that's really when I notice it. And I just sat there looking. I was like, oh my God, I had no idea that there was this much of a change, even though I'd been taking measurements and I could see, you know, number wise, yeah, there's a difference. But if I didn't have to post online what I was doing and what my stats are, I wouldn't have pushed myself as hard as I did, even though it's what I really want to do, which is kind of weird because this is what I want to do. But it was just putting it out there and making it sort of public knowledge really makes you have to do it because there's really no excuse not to.
Yeah, that's a scary thing, putting that first picture up. It really
is. But that's good because if you don't like what you look like, then you're in the right place. So put your picture up, and then if you want to have a better picture up, then go do it.
Yeah, I like that because it allows you to, you know, I have this concept of, and it's not original, but of really getting kind of really, really, really close and kind of in tune with reality and knowing exactly where you are at the moment. Like it's kind of like yin and yang. Like there's reality and then hope of where you want to go, but you can't have the hope and the goal of where you want to go if you don't know exactly where you are right now without lying to yourself or any of that stuff. You have to know exactly. And that's what that allows you to do, is just kind of saying, all right, you know, screw it. Here's where I'm at. It doesn't make me a bad person. This is just what the situation is right now. This is where I'm starting from. Mm. And I use that for everything.
And
I have
and to. Everyone else massively appreciates it when you post that stuff, post the picture, and kind of let them sort of peek into what you're going to do. Like, staying hidden doesn't help anyone. It doesn't help you or them, but coming out and showing what you're about to do, and you post that, you know, less than flattering before picture, and everyone else completely respects that.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, you know what, man, I should do that too. And so it kind of starts a kind of a snowball. I mean, I'll say it again. I think that there's a big the world has a big vacuum of leadership and just waiting for people to step up and it'll just suck you into it and it's good. So, you got anything else?
No, I'm good. That was great, Jason. You got any one last piece of advice that was a great interview.
No, I think that's the biggest thing is just. I mean, obviously, if you've already purchased the system, you want to do it. So get on the forums, start a blog, even if you don't post all the time, periodically put your stats up, put your pictures up, and, make yourself accountable. And if you say you're going to do it, just go do it because there's no reason that you can't. Like, unless you work longer hours than I do and only have the option to eat McDonald's, like, you can get it done. So if it's what you want, and it probably is because you're here, then just go do it. And there's plenty of guys that are either going to be in the same situation or have already done it, and everyone's there to help you out.
Yep. Awesome, man. Well, like I say, I really appreciate it, man. This is a really great interview. I don't have anything else to add, so I guess we can just go ahead and close it out. John, you got anything?
Well,
you good?
That was great. Thanks a lot, Jason.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, guys.
No problem, man. All right, so for John Barbin, I am Brad Howard, and that's your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast.